balls in my hands.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh yeah, football, football.
From potholes to pop-ups, we got it covered.
Hey, hey!
Here's Bob Fesco.
Take a bite out of my ass.
And Dusty Likens.
Big nuts.
Say that about Stephon Castle last night.
Oh, man, he was huge.
Or Wembanyama last night. Big nuts on those two fellas.
Good performance by the Spurs all the way around.
Yeah, it's going seven.
Six and double figures for San Antonio. I don't doubt that now, right? The league needs it. They got their fifth game at least. The TV got their fifth game to get themselves a little bit of TV flow going on out there last night, but I'm glad that game's over. I'll be honest with you, man. That was exhausting, and I wasn't even there. And the pictures of getting into that game, I told you guys the anxiety would have kicked in.
What, Brewers and A's?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, the one out in Vegas.
15-14, 11 home runs. 21 home runs hit yesterday, 11 in one game.
11 in one game
yesterday.
They
played in Vegas outside above sea level. They warned us all.
I need clarification on this because Dusty and I do not know when we were talking about it this morning. Does a dome stadium cancel out the altitude?
I would think.
I would think not. We don't know.
I don't think it does either,
Mac. We did
Mac.
Not go
I'm
to the garage this morning.
No, FYI. We did not. No, and there's not enough garage sessions that would have got me through a line at Madison Square Garden yesterday. I'll tell you that right now.
That sucked.
But I don't know. I don't think a dome does affect the altitude.
Yeah, it would not cancel out the physical effects of altitude. A standard dome or stadium roof keeps out weather but leaves the internal air pressure identical.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's the exact same thing. So regardless if they put a dome down there, the first MLB game played in Las Vegas for the A's last night. How many home runs did you say again?
I believe there was 11.
11 home runs. Wow. They're going to have to take those games off the board out there because everybody's just going to bet the over. I mean, it's going to be serious.
The over-under in that game last night to start was 11.
Oh, my goodness. Jeez. Wow, that's a lot.
And, of course, you always win the bets you don't place.
Right.
So I said to my buddy, I go, maybe just try this one. I had Kurtz, Terang, and Langerhans to hit a home run. It was plus 5,500. Aww. They all three would hit home runs.
Of course they did because you're right.
And, of course, the bet I did place, I missed by one assist of Jalen Brunson.
Oh, man, Jalen Brunson screwed you last night.
You hate to see it.
You really do. You really do. But that, you know, gambling in a nutshell. Gambling in a nutshell last
Brunson,
night.
30 of 81 now in the series. More turnovers than assists in these three games, man. He's got it. That is going to become more and more of a story, especially if the Spurs win game four. If they don't and they're up 3-1, we'll forget about it. Brunson may win finals MVP and we'll rewrite history. But right now, man, he's got to step up.
Yeah, five turnovers, five assists last night in that game for them. I mean, he has stepped up in the first couple of games. He's been really good. Scoring
shot
when he needed
terribly.
Him to score. Terribly he did.
He's
very
inefficient.
He is.
Very inefficient this
year. 11 of 25, but 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. That's not bad.
Yeah, last night was his most efficient game.
You could live with that beyond the arc. But, I mean, they still put up 111 points. I think it has more to do with, you know, De'Aaron Fox getting hot there at the end and hitting some big-time shots. Castle was hot all night long. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to have those swings back and forth where, you know, some teams are going to win a game. Happens. I mean, that's the fact of life. And I was thinking about this. We always approach these games, you know, from the standpoint of why teams lost as opposed to why teams won, right? And we always, because it's easier, I think, that way. It's, this guy stunk last night. That's why they lost. He gave up 17 home runs and lost the game. But why did these teams win? Why did the San Antonio Spurs win last night? I think the Knicks were overwhelmed. I do. I think New York was overwhelmed yesterday, guys. I'm just going to say that. I've never seen New York City like that in my entire life, where people are tweeting things that I never thought I'd hear New Yorkers say. Too much traffic, too many people, I'm leaving work early, I've never seen the trains this crowded at this time. You couldn't get it within blocks of that. I think the entire city was overwhelmed last night. And I think the Knicks played at that kind of level for the majority of the game where they look like they were overwhelmed last night as well. That was a circus that took place outside of Madison Square Garden. I've never seen anything like that where people didn't know where to go, how to get in. I'm sure it was chaos for the players. Did you see Wemby getting frisked going in by the metal detector and the handheld and all that kind of stuff? So I think last
night, all
for
a guy to leave early.
I think last night was one of those situations where I think everybody was just overwhelmed. The Knicks had the excitement. They thought they were going to roll the ball out there and play. And, you know, the Spurs came out and knocked them in the face and really never let them back up. Even though the Knicks got back into the game and had a sizable lead for a while, San Antonio never went away. And they get a lot of credit for the way that they played last night, because it really would have been easy to go down 0-3 in New York with all that hoopla and everything that surrounded it. And we'd have been talking about Wemby in the park drawing pictures and not concentrating on basketball. I think that helped him play better last night. He got his mind away from the game. All these getting your playbook, you know, Neanderthals that are out there. This guy went and sketched in a park, cleared his entire mind, and dominated a game last night.
Side note on the A's and Brewers game. The Brewers had 52 at-bats last night. They had 15 strikeouts and 4 home runs. The A's had 51 at-bats last night. They had 20 strikeouts and 7 home runs.
Wow.
Hello, America.
So we bet the over again on that again tonight?
I think you're going to have to.
I mean, I told you if you wanted a dark horse MVP, it was Nick Kurtz.
Yep.
He would go 3-for-6 last night, hit 2 home runs and strike out 3 times. Baseball. But no, that game last night, I think the elephant in the room is that with the president being there, it caused a total different vibe.
Absolutely.
And this isn't political by any means. No sitting president has ever gone to an NBA Finals game. I didn't know he was a basketball fan, but with the presence of him being there, it caused complete chaos.
Yep.
And I think that kind of killed the vibe of the city. And again, this has nothing to do with politics. So don't run at me on the text line. I'm just saying, like, maybe that's one you watch from the Oval Office. And I'm not saying that he couldn't go or anything like that, but it wouldn't have been like that if an active president was there.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that. New Yorkers are, you know, they're resilient, Dusty. You've been there now. You know what New Yorkers are all about. Nothing phases New Yorkers, right? You could be walking right at them in a crosswalk, and they would walk right through your soul and not even think twice
about it. It was 4 hours to get in.
4 hours to get in last night.
And they were getting there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
And think about what it must have been like for the players to try to get into that thing last night as well, to get through all the traffic. Because the picture of
Wemby getting wand.
Yeah, you know? I mean,
like, really?
The other thing that people don't understand is, like, you're stuck on, there's nowhere to go. It's like there's no police escorts. There's no way in. It's a city that is just there. And then to have all the streets closed around it and, you know, just the security to get in, it was an overwhelming experience for everybody. And I thought the Knicks kind of just played that way last night. And the Spurs found a way to kind of channel that zen of sitting in Gramercy Park and sketching, you know, whatever you were sketching yesterday, and kind of channeling that zen and getting it all out, because that was the right thing to do. I don't know what you guys do, and even if you do anything, but, like, I get anxiety in those situations big time. And, like, going to Arrowhead, I've got to leave early. It's why I love going with Ralph. We get on that bus at 6 a.m. and we're there, and that anxiety for me is gone. I don't do well in those type of situations where there's thousands and thousands, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that suffers in those type of situations, that gets antsy and anxiety ridden by looking at all of those crowds. And I just think yesterday, that was that kind of moment. And again, it's not an excuse or anything like that. It's the reality of stuff, that when New Yorkers themselves are overwhelmed by what's going on, I can't imagine a basketball team having to go out there and play. And the Knicks got caught up in it. But look, it's better for us as fans, guys, right? Don't we want more of this series? Because take everything away from it, these games have been very entertaining. Last night was very entertaining of a basketball game.
Even ESPN's NBA Insider had trouble.
So the Knicks and Spurs, they've been handling it a little bit differently. The Knicks, Karl Anthony Towns, OG Anunoby have been deflecting Donald Trump's presence here, saying that they're just focused on basketball. De'Aaron Fox admitted today that it is no doubt an inconvenience for the players in the game. And myself, Malika, personally, I was actually stopped by Secret Service just right over there because my AirPod fell, and Secret Service came up to me and said, hey, Secret Service, you're going to have to get out of the intersection. So I had to get out. After this, I'm going to go look for my AirPod case.
So we still haven't found the AirPod case, Shams?
We're still on the hunt.
Yeah, you got to use your Find My AirPods case. My wife left hers in New Orleans during the Super Bowl, found them at an apartment somewhere in New Orleans. Like, you could find your AirPod case.
Somebody on the text line says that the president went to the Ryder Cup at Bethpage in New York last year, and I was there that day. 7-hour line to get in at 6 a.m.
That's insane. That's nuts. That's, I mean, for the fans, for the players, for everybody involved, it makes for very difficult. When he was saying that, it reminded me of a drop we had years ago, and I don't remember if you remember this drop, Dusty, from back in the day, but there was a reporter down in Dallas named Newey Scruggs, and it was back, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, and it was for, I think, the World Series or something like that was going on in Texas before weed was pretty much, you know, acceptable wherever you go now. and he's doing his live report. He goes, right over there, people are smoking weed. and when he said right over there, I don't know if we have that drop anymore, if we can find that. But when I heard him say that, that's the first thing that I thought of. Right over there are people smoking weed. And I couldn't get that out of my head yesterday. And I'm like, I should look for this drop to see if it's still up.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe this one?
Right over there, there's some people smoking weed.
That's the one. Way to go, Dusty.
Right over there, there's some people smoking weed.
We've got awesome. Weed.
It's an all-timer. So when Shams is like, right over there, I lost my iPod case. I'm like, right over there. People are smoking weed. How stoned were the fans got to be going into that game last night to get through that line?
Probably not as many as you'd think.
Well, it wore off by the time you got in.
Yeah. Then you have, you know, who could forget Casper Rudd?
I come from a place which is very, very different than New York and grow up closer to the sea and quiet. And I'm not a big fan of the smell of weed. When you walk around. No, but seriously, it's not even, I'm not even joking here, because it's every corner, every street, you smell it by almost anywhere you go. So I this is not something sportsmen do or that no one does that. Since I reached the final here a few years ago, people have sort of keep their eyes up. So this is nice, but I don't love the weed smell. That's the thing I can say. But everything else is pretty cool. Yeah.
Was he in line last night?
Maybe.
Right over there, there's some people smoking weed.
Right over there.
Right over there, there's some people smoking weed.
But we do know that we are going to have an electric Wednesday night.
Yep.
Tonight we get, game four of the Stanley Cup, right? It's 2-1 mm-hmm. Carolina.
Yep.
We know that game's going to be electric because so far the first three have been great. They've been two overtimes, and one was the first game was 5-4 with three goals in the third period. So it should be an interesting game tonight. But the Spurs aren't dead. They showed up, and we are now 92 days away until the NFL starts, and we are slowly but surely getting there and what it means for the Chiefs moving forward here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Carter Jensen, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty, weekday morning starting at 6, right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
We've been competing with Cardi B here.
We lost. Hey, I don't know if those B's, that might be Cardi D's. I sure am, new love and team. I'm pretty sure those are B's.
I don't know. I don't know who said that, Chuck, but I know it wasn't
Chuck. Chuck, you let her in. You can't let the knee cap. I told you to.
She got the wrong initials.
And completely wrecked the entire show.
Oh, my God. I mean, when he wrecks the entire show like that, you know, I was sitting there on the couch and I heard that. I go, did he just say what I think he said?
You can hear
it was so good.
You can hear the dental drill laugh.
3-0. We've been competing with Cardi B here.
We lost. Hey, I don't know if those B's, that might be Cardi D's.
So good.
I'm sure there's some sports fan that's pissed. Tell me about the first half. You watched it as well.
I don't think so.
You don't think
Bob,
so?
Stop. All right. It's the most loved sports show. People love it.
Yeah, people, you know, when Charles came onto the college scene, people did not like Charles Barkley whatsoever.
30, 20 years ago, whatever it was.
About 10, probably.
Yeah,
now,
we did that. It was 15 years ago. We did it the other
was
day.
Was it 15?
Yeah, we did it the other day.
That's the content they want.
Yeah.
No, people love that.
Yeah. I hope so, because that's great. That's what you need more of. That's why people were, like, I got a text in one of our friend groups. Why is Pat McAfee doing the NBA? I'm like, okay. I said
I
because
don't,
it's
I don't
all,
get that.
But it's an alt cast. You don't have to watch it. Nobody's they didn't disrupt your broadcast of the NBA game. And so why did they do that? Who's the most popular figure at ESPN? We just had this conversation last week. Pat McAfee. Why wouldn't you put your most popular figure on during one of the biggest events with the biggest team in the biggest city? You know, you try to get more exposure and build and build and build. And so I thought it was a great idea by ESPN, getting outside those silos a little bit. And sometimes having people that aren't like the experts at the sport talk about the sport sometimes makes it actually better because they're not so dialed into the nuances of stuff. So I love the fact that they're letting McAfee do that kind of stuff.
Not to put our clout to Pat McAfee's clout, but we as a show, I don't think we know a whole lot about soccer.
No.
No.
We've probably been to Belton once.
Yeah.
And guess who's going to go to Belton for a watch party for the soccer tournament?
Right, the three of us.
Because it's what the station's doing.
Right.
And who has the finals?
Right.
ABC, who owns ESPN.
Exactly.
So they're going to be. Yeah. But that's just the way it goes. Like,
right.
When the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl, obviously football's a different category, but they sent our show there.
Right.
Because it worked out for our time slot. Not that, like, we knew anything about New Orleans or that we were going to dip, dive, duck, dodge, and dip into football, but it was because, like, you want to bring the scene to the airwaves. Mm-hmm. You want to put McAfee there. You want to put your talent where the story is, and that's what they're doing because he may not be the basketball guy, but it's kind of funny to see this, you know, dude who's a dude go there and see how he reacts to the finals. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's just what it is. It's in New York. Is his studio in New York?
Nah, he's in Indy, I think.
He's in Indy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's in Indy.
But, I mean, it's just, it's one of those things. You have to put all your stuff there.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I think they had Spike Lee on before the game. Obviously, a New York super fan. It's in New York. And he had offers for his seats of $1 million.
Jeez.
He turned it down.
Yeah, of course you are. If you're Spike Lee, you've been there through all the losing and all that kind of stuff. You are absolutely going to turn it down. But, you know, we do that all the time. Like, if Charles came out and started talking about the NFL, people would be like, why is he on there talking about football? He's a basketball player. Yeah, but he's a sports fan, too. Like, the three of us, we never played at a high level of anything, right? But we're on here talking about it and giving our opinions, and nobody says, well, you're a football guy, or you're this guy. I hate when we put some people into a box. That's why I love the crossover with Charles on the NHL stuff, too, because it brings him to a completely different audience and exposes him to another audience. So I think all that stuff is fun. And again, if you don't like it and it's not for you, feel free to watch the regular broadcast. It was fantastic last night.
The Royals were off yesterday. They'll play tonight at 6:40. Josh Verner will hit the airwaves at 5:30 for your pregame show with Verns on Deck show on 96.5 The Fan. Eovaldi versus Kolek as they take on the Rangers at home. And don't forget, this year we partnered with Casey Yusey, who is donating $50 to Prostate Cancer Foundation for every home run the boys in blue hit this season. 1 in 8 men will face prostate cancer. Early detection saves lives at Casey Yusey, Kansas City's largest, most experienced, and most advanced neurology team. Yusey the best in Casey. Schedule today at kcyusey.com. Over $2,900 so far this season with 58 home runs by the boys in blue. But it ain't no secret, fellas. The NFL is approaching very quickly. 92 days until the NFL. You think, oh my gosh, 92 days, whatever. 14 weeks away from this Wednesday, we will have kickoff to the regular season.
That's
for the
insane.
NFL.
Less weeks to kick off than there are in the season, Dusty.
And we saw yesterday, Mansoor Delane is officially signed. Peter Woods is officially signed.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the media day. So you can expect to hear, you know, when we talk bad about such player. You're listening to Blank on 96.5 The Fan. But it seemed like there was quite the attraction to the new man who wears number 9 in the Chiefs offense with Kenneth Walker III.
Mm-hmm.
Got to feel like there's a lot of people with a lot of expectations, and I don't think he's a guy that's going to bury his head in those expectations, that he's going to hit the ground running, no pun intended.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I'm getting excited about what they're going to be able to do with Ken Walker and just kind of thinking about it yesterday when we were having the conversation of doing that fake video where Andy sweeps everything off his desk and just puts a playbook down that says running plays. I've been kind of thinking about that the whole time. And really what my kind of expectation is for all of this is that the pieces are in place right now, right? We feel like the Chiefs have some really good pieces in place right now to do some different things on the offense, right? Some new coordinators are in there. Some new coaches are in there. You've got Ken Walker in there as well, a different sort of weapon that you've never had before. And so the expectation for me now is this is all on Andy Reid to take all of these pieces that have been given to him and execute a gourmet meal with the running backs that he has in his arsenal right now. And so I think for Kenneth Walker, when you look at like, okay, what should his numbers be? I think you're supposed to take it, from my perspective anyway, the entire running back group and what they're going to do, you know, for this organization. Because I do think it is going to be, I hate to use the term committee because I still think Ken Walker's your number one guy. But if you're looking around and you're getting close to, I don't know, Mac, you're more of a numbers guy than any of us, 1,600 rushing yards combined from a couple of running back, that's a pretty good number for this offense that's, you know, been kind of, you know, averse to running the ball. If they can get you 1,600 yards on the ground, but more importantly, make defenses respect the run where they didn't even respect you last year, that's what I want to see. I want that respect factor brought back in when it comes to the running game where Ken Walker can go out there and they know it may not be a pass and they have to respect that run.
Coach, what did you learn about Kenneth Walker in your time
back? Very competitive.
The player who was once ranked 2,164th best in the country.
You can tell he truly cares about football. He cares about his teammates. If he's not in the play, he's helping the guys on the sideline. It's special the way he's able to run the football, catch the football, do everything.
Stronger than Ox. I mean, he's put together now.
Very competitive. He's a hard worker. Does not take anything for granted. He's what you want. You love his approach in the building. He's very professional in the classroom. And he hates being wrong, you know. So you love all of that about him. Now it's just about making sure he has the what's, the why's, and the how's down on how we gonna get him to be the player that we need him to be. But the thing that I love, he does not take anything for granted. The kid works his tail off in the classroom, in the weight room, and on the field as well.
All that does is make me feel them a plums.
Yeah, and the best part about that is Ken Walker put that video together himself and posted it on his own social channel. I think that's really cool.
Hates to be wrong.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Love that.
That is really good.
First things I wrote down in the notebook when Bienemy said that, because I love a guy that, because he already has the football stuff down.
Yeah.
Now it's about all the mental in between the ears, and that's exactly what him and Bienemy are going to work on, man. He's going to be a new player this year.
I think he will be the bell cow. Yeah. He absolutely will be the bell cow, but how much, I don't want it to get to the point, though, where we're overusing him. You got to mix and match, keep him fresh and all this. You got to keep all your players fresh, especially at the running back position. But I think the one thing that I hear I watched it yesterday. I saw that he posted it and put it together himself and put it up there. I'm like, that guy's genuinely excited to be here in Kansas City. Like, there's genuine excitement to be playing for our team. And I think that's really cool to have a guy that is so overwhelmed and excited to be here that he's just putting everything together that people are saying. He's feeling the vibe from us. He's feeling the vibe from his team. It could be one of these perfect matches, hopefully, knock on wood, that he comes in here and just takes this offense to a level we haven't seen probably since the early 20s, you know, like 21 and 22. And Ken Walker can help you do that. He's bought in. He loves it here. The fans seem to be excited. Everybody seems to be excited about it. So far, man, everything's trending in the right direction with this cat.
I think it's pretty interesting because the Royals haven't had a real good closer this year, right? They've had Estevez, who's been hurt. Lucas Ursig's kind of like failed in that role. I don't think anybody in the organization would get mad at you for saying that. It hasn't been his year. And now you have Alex Lang, but the Chiefs haven't had that closer. And it's always been Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the greatest things that can help Mahomes out this year is having Ken Walker be that closer. Yeah. Like, when you get the ball back in the eighth, or with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter and you're up 27-21, eight plays, 6 minutes, six of those plays are runs, three of those six runs are first downs, moving the chain, keeping the clock ticking, keeping everybody kind of in the same line. And like, when you have that offensive line, you should be able to, you know, create those things, because I get down rabbit holes all the time on X, and the other day they were showing like old school Chief videos, right? There was one where it was Gerbach and Randy Moss in 1999. They were the two just going back and forth with Minnesota. It was like week 13 or something, but the atmosphere was electric. And then there was another one I watched, which was, I want to say it was 01, and it was the Bills versus the Chiefs. And it was Priest Holmes got the ball six times in eight plays on the final drive. And they had not had any rushing progress the entire game. They ran for 87 yards in the fourth quarter. And it was the day that Priest Holmes went over the 1,000-yard line, or over the 1,000-yard marker in back-to-back seasons as the first Chief running back to ever do that. Since then, I think Jamaal Charles is the only one that's done it since. And to be honest with you, outside of the Kareem Hunt year one, they haven't really had that guy like a Wade Davis to give at the end of the game and be like, hey, man, just go throw your fastball and we'll be fine. You know, whatever. We can sit back and
it's a great analogy.
You know, I appreciate that. But it's one of those things where, like, you know, you can be like, hey, 7 minutes left, ball in 35. We're going to run the ball.
Yeah.
And we know that Ken Walker is going to be that guy that can do that. And when you can do that, it makes everything that much better. And as Mac has said, this offensive line is better than advertised or talked about. Mm. And now you kind of have every position filled.
Let me ask you guys this real quick. I'm sorry to cut you off on that one. You said this line is better than advertised or whatever, however you phrased it right there. Has Andy Reid allowed this line to really be the line that we think this line can be? Because everybody praises it, yet sometimes you watch it and you're still like, damn. But I do think that is because we were throwing the ball 95% of the time last year, and you never gave that line an opportunity to have a chance. That you never gave them a chance to have a chance last year. And I think with Ken Walker being in there now you're giving your offensive line the ability to have that chance, and we'll really see them play, I think, at their best, because you're going to be mixing and matching. It's not going to be just all pass, where you're putting those guys on an island. But I love the closer mentality that you had there with Ken Walker, because I didn't even think of it in that perspective. You got 4 minutes to go in a game now, right? How many times with 4 minutes to go up six, we're like, oh my God,
three
and out. And you go from like 4:02 on the clock to 3:48. And you've run three plays and lost 14 seconds because you're just tossing the ball all over the place. So I like that approach with Ken Walker, too. Just close out games with this guy,
and
man.
We've seen Andy Reid do it with Kareem Hunt, like you've mentioned. There was a game against the 49ers 2 or 3 years ago. Kareem Hunt wasn't on this team at that point. And it was against, like, prime Nick Bosa. And they did that same thing. It wasn't McKinnon. I can't remember the running back. But Andy Reid will occasionally, and I believe he'll do it more with this offensive line and with the running back. Again, he hasn't been given the horses to do this, so it's hard to really criticize him when he hasn't had any of the weapons to chew clock and take away a game. But man, I agree with you, dude. That is exactly it. He can be our closer, and he can also be the easy button that I've always talked about that we've lacked these last couple of years. Hey, it's second and six. Last two drives haven't worked out. Don't need to pass it right here. Let's hand it to Kenneth Walker. All of a sudden, it's 3rd and 1. Hey, we're moving the chains now. Here we go.
And you know, looking back and saying, yeah, he didn't have the horses. You still had guys that you could attempt it with. It was almost like they just gave up on the run last year.
They had the worst running back core in the league last year, Bob, by far.
No, like, I can't
criticize Andy Reid when we watched Pacheco last season run into butts over and over and over again.
And again, that's why we have new running back coaches.
100%. You know, I don't think that was the.
I think it is. I think, you know, okay, man, like mentally, you got to get out of this mindset. Are you okay to play football? Because Pacheco looked like he was a guy that was lost, and we called it. I mean, it was, you had your 4 years and you were gone. I mean, this was nothing that anybody should be surprised about. But I mean, if you're running into backs of players, that is coaching, though. That's the running back coach having the experience of playing the position and showing him that and going, okay, here's what, see that hole right there where it's open? That's where you want to go, you know, instead of running into the back of this guy.
How many frozen videos did you see of whether it be Mitchell Schwartz or whether it be some Chiefs fan on X where it's
endless.
Like, how did Pacheco not see this?
But again, week after week after week after week, like, where's the coaching and telling him, dude, you know?
And I, for sure, that's a part of it. All I'll say is Pacheco's never had good vision. That's the only thing. Maybe it's because of the coaching, to your point. But I also would say that, let's upgrade these running backs. He's an RB2 at best, which we now see.
And he's making
$1 million.
And they're also going away from what they did in Detroit to, like, change their way. Like, Dan Campbell said in his OTA press conference, Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be our guy. Like, we are going to give him the ball three times on 3 downs. Like, he's going to be our bell cow. We're not going to do the Montgomery Gibbs thing anymore. And that's with Pacheco coming to the team. So, like, Pacheco's going to be your.
Well, they also don't have that option anymore, too. You know?
No. I feel that. But again, it's like they don't have that option, but they also don't want to use that option because they have what they have at running back, just like the Chiefs have what they have at Ken Walker. Like, I'm a big fan of DeMercado on this team, but he's going to be that guy that's going to catch the swing pass on a 3rd and 1 where you think they're running, and that might be where he comes into play. Whereas Ken Walker,
that's an extension of the running game.
Which I hope that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is. But I hope that that's what we see with Ken Walker, because he's got a gigantic man at left tackle. He's got a pretty damn good swing tackle at right tackle. And then you got those juggernauts in the middle with Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey. And then Kingsley, who came up on the scene last year. Mm-hmm. He's got bodies in front of him.
Yeah.
And I think the text line makes a good point. There's no ring chasing for him. There's no clout chasing. He's a Super Bowl MVP. He's a Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need that. He doesn't have that
chip on his shoulder. Chased the check. They chased the ring. He chased the check, right?
And now he's here to be, you know, a face of this franchise for the next 2 to 3 years. Moving forward, speaking of the franchise next year, ESPN's using analytics to put in teams, I guess you could say, but ESPN's computer model, the Football Power Index, has released its picks for the 10 best teams in the National Football League as we head into the 2026 regular season. This isn't Max Pack. This is the computer pack. They've got Rams, Ravens, Bills, Lions, Seahawks as your top five. Yep. Any arguments there other than Lions at four?
Ravens at two, Bills at three. You know, like Bills have a new coach, Ravens have a new head coach. Do we not forget about that? I mean, having teams at 2 and 3 that have brand new head coaches that have never done it in the NFL before is a little bold to me. It's a little bold to have that those two teams up that high.
I'm also excited to see what Seattle's offense looks like this year. Because Charbonnet won't be back by week 1, 2, 3, or 4. There is no Ken Walker. They put all their money in JSN. Sam Darnold's coming off the, I would say, a career year for him, obviously, as a Super Bowl winner.
And they lost Clint Kubiak.
And they lost their offensive coordinator to the Raiders. You go from the top five to the next five. Number 6, Niners. Number 7, Packers. Number 8, Bengals. Number 9, Chiefs. Number 10, Eagles.
I have a problem with the Bengals and Packers being in there probably at this point in time. You know, I think all of these teams are going to be good.
No Bears.
No Bears.
The Bears
are
Indiana Bears.
You know, no Bears, no Broncos, no Chargers.
No Chargers. No Raiders.
Well,
but no Broncos or Chargers. It's crazy.
I mean, and also, too, the Eagles, where are the Cowboys? They're not on that list. They get a lot of buzz every year, you know, for a top 10 team. You know, who else could be on that list that potentially is not, you know, on that list? Not Minnesota, not Pittsburgh, not Cleveland. Probably New England. I mean, they were in the Super Bowl last year, guys. They're nowhere to be found on that list. And so the thing that really just stood out to me is, though, they've got the Chiefs in the top 10. And that needs to be our expectation. This needs to be a top 10 football team this year. I know people want to get back to that Super Bowl, and that ultimately is, you know, the goal, to try to get back to that level. But this year, where you have a couple of new pieces, you got some new coaches, new coordinator on offense, obviously, and new pieces on your field, I think this is one of those that you go, if we're a top 10 team in the NFL this year, we've got our swag back, right? We're hitting our stride if we finish as a top 10 team in the NFL. Because if you're a top 10 team, you're in the playoffs. And so that's what we should strive to be this year. I think that's a good indicator of what fans should expect for the Chiefs this year. Be one of those top 10 teams every single week, and you'll end up in the postseason. 10, 11, 12 wins right in that area.
I think for the first time in maybe 8 years, 8, 7 years, they're not Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah.
They're playoff or bust.
Playoff or bust, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because if they don't make the playoffs, we're having some serious conversations about front office.
Yep.
Serious conversations. And if it's Andy Reid still going to be the head coach,
yeah.
If they go 9-11 or if they go whatever it may be, but the way this roster has reevaluated and changed, it tells me that last year was enough of a stinker for them to put on their resume and say, hey, this is the outlier. 6-11. That needs to be reversed. Mm-hmm. It needs to be 11-6.
Absolutely.
And that's the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. 6 losses. That's all we should have is 6 losses. Obviously last year, not the greatest year for the roster. Obviously Mahomes gets hurt. Your left tackle is MIA for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And then your players are hurt. Excuses or not, let that be the outlier, because it can't happen again.
Right, exactly. And if it is an outlier, then it's an outlier. And everybody has one of those outlier-type seasons. I mean, New England had it. Just Brady shredded his knee, you know, that year. They still won 11 games and found a way in to the postseason. So I think it's a one-off, and I think they'll be just fine and be a top-10 team this year. And then this time next year, the expectation should be, again, Super Bowl or bust with this organization.
It is Tuesday. Mac and Bob, enjoy this day, but some people have a tough Tuesday. On the other side, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Tune in to hear Royals insider Josh Vernier every Monday at 8:20.
Professor Vernier sitting up here, bloviating.
On your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Days like today where I feel like radio was chosen just for me, because I'm not making this up. This is an actual new product that hits the shelf soon. As we get into our tough Tuesdays on a Tuesday. Really? This is what we're going with?
Are you launching another celebrity seltzer brand?
No, I'm launching a brand new coconut water. It's actually really good.
Oh, what's it called?
Yeah, Tom, what's it called?
So we called coconut farmers in Vietnam for this one, which, when you care about ingredients, it's kind of a huge deal.
No, not who you called, what's it called?
You called me!
Okay, just tell me what it's called, Tom.
When you have a product this good, it doesn't matter what it's called, okay?
Yeah, it kind of does.
That's right. Good Nut. Mm-hmm. That's the name of the new drink that Tom Brady is behind. It's called Good Nut.
Yeah.
You going to get some Good Nut?
Probably not. Okay. No.
I know that I'm hard.
No, probably not. You can only order it on a website, too.
I like coconut water.
I do, too.
I think it's delicious.
But it's one of those purchases where if I'm there at Hy-Vee and I look at it and I grab it off the shelf, I'm not going to go whatever that website. Yeah, exactly.
You don't want some good nut juice on a Tuesday?
No.
Okay.
I've been pounded this week. No.
And you know, Tom is like, I love the fact that Tom played it up the way that he did in that commercial, though, too. And they didn't kind of skirt around it and try to act like it wasn't a big deal. No, it's a big deal. What's it called?
Good Nut.
Good Nut. Yeah. Good Nut. Yeah. Good Nut. Okay.
Good Nut.
So I'm glad they did that, man. I am. I'm glad Tom Brady embraced that, owned it, went, yeah, this is a really bad name, but they gave. They told you why he played it or called it that, right, at the beginning?
Yep.
It's some, you know, term from, where did he say?
Vietnam.
Vietnam. Okay, so now you know why they called it that. So they told you why they're calling it Good Nut and what it means. And, you know, but here, you know, for men, it means something else.
I mean, just imagine telling your friends you woke up, had a really solid morning, had some Good Nut, and you're ready to start your day.
Right. And people are going to be like, what? What the hell was that?
Yeah. I mean, tough Tuesday for that name.
Yeah. Really bad tough Tuesday. Mac, who you got for a tough Tuesday?
Tough Tuesday. I'll go with, how about our boy Mike Brown? He's had such a good series. I did not like his comments after last night's game. This is what he had to say.
Opportunities for fouls to be called to at least try to even the free throws out. Now, we didn't play good. San Antonio played great. We could have played better. There were a lot of things that we didn't do that we did in game one and game two. But to go 24 free throw attempts in a second half, that's 48 for the game if you think about it the way that they called that second half, compared to 8. All the shots we took, we got fouled 4 times, roughly, for 8 free throw attempts. Again, I don't complain much. I never thought I'd see that in an NBA Finals game.
That's like the no offense, but I'm about to offend you.
Yeah, clearly it was. He's like, yeah, we do all this. That's a compliment sandwich.
And Mac, I don't know how well you are at reading lips, but according to Brick Center, Mike Brown, over here you called it a foul, but over there you called it a travel. Ref Mark Davis, blank, you're right.
Did that really happen?
I did see that.
The ref admitted it?
If you go to Brick Center, he goes, over there is this, over there you call that. He goes, you're right. Yeah, dude.
I did not think the game was poorly called last night.
I didn't either.
I know
though.
It's been a story on Twitter. I know if there were some bad calls. The Jalen Brunson flagrant, like obviously refs are going to make mistakes.
But we're hanging on 3 calls.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Of a long game.
And I hate when we do that. This team had this many free throws. This team had this many. Okay, yeah, but did you watch the game? This team was more physical. They drove more. Were there actual foul calls missed? Or are you just looking at a number? You're talking about even free throws. This isn't the way this works.
Yeah, I hate when coaches go with that. I hate when people blame the officials. It's never been that way. I mean, you can ask Josh back in the day. We just never blamed officials. It's not my style of sports. There's always something you could do better to not make the officials cost you a game. Because I think when you're blaming the officials, that's a loser mentality. But I will say the mindset in New York going into this game yesterday was very much about the officials. That's all they were talking about on WFAN yesterday is if the officials do this, then the Knicks have this opportunity to win. If the officials do this. So what I'm getting at is maybe it was in everybody's head, too. You know, maybe everybody was thinking about that yesterday and worried too much about the ancillary stuff. And I think that's what we saw with the Knicks yesterday. And it's not like they got blown out. They lost by 4, you know? And they didn't get blown out yesterday. And all of this stuff that we've been talking about, the distractions and the officiating and all of this nonsensical stuff, doesn't take away that they only lost by 4 points and could have won that game very easily last night. So, yeah, they ended up losing the game. It was by 4 points. But, I mean, come on, Mike. Don't blame the officials.
Yeah, don't do that.
He'll get some good nut juice, and they'll be back for game 4 on Wednesday.
They'll be fine on Wednesday night.
Someone said on Twitter that Tom Brady needs to do a collab with Busta Rhymes. I'll let you fill in the rest.
My tough Tuesday goes to Knicks fans for overpaying for a loss.
Oh, yeah.
Dang.
Or the ones who pre-bought game four at $20K a pop, thinking that would be the closeout.
Or the ones that decided to go to last night's game and not sell, and they're going to go to game four. Because imagine if they won last night and you sold, and then you still have game four, then you get to see the championship and they were to win it.
What would you have done?
Sold.
I know. That's what I would have done, too. But I was going to say, like, you're a 52-year season ticket holder. You've been a Knicks season ticket holder forever.
Spike Lee.
And here they are, right? Spike Lee's different. He can't sell because everybody would know. You're John Johnson. You've had season tickets forever. Are you going to these games? Or are you making your nut back for all of those years with the good nut water and selling your tickets? What would you do?
I would have sold game three and I'd have gone to game four.
Okay. That's a good plan. I like that.
Yeah, I think I would have done the same. Got to go to one of these games.
And you have to sell one of them, too, with these extreme prices, right?
Was it the pregame show that I saw it on that somebody said that they paid for their child's tuition because they sold their...
God.
So I forget where I saw this. I need to find it. But they said that it's like $30,000 a year for season tickets. You make $50,000 on selling your game one, two seats, right? So you netted $20,000. Then you still go to game four if game three went the way you wanted it to, and then you have a chance to see history.
Right.
You're still going to be able to go see the game on Wednesday, obviously, with your ticket, but you netted $20,000.
Yeah, you got to do it. You got to sell.
To me, it's the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, I hate the, you know, oh, you're a real fan, you're not selling your tickets. No, I've invested a lot of money in these tickets over the years, and now I have an opportunity to make some money back on those tickets. Like when Chiefs fans sell their tickets, I don't care about that. It's your ticket. You've gone to a lot of games. If you want to resell that ticket, that's fine by me. I don't have a problem with that. And I think I would have done the same thing. That's a great plan, Dusty. You sell game three, you go to game four, and you get the best of both worlds. You make some money back, and you get to see game four, which is going to be, I'm sure, a Knicks win now after seeing what we saw last night at Madison Square Garden.
Now, but every road team's winning this season. Yeah. There's your overreaction.
That is your overreaction. Yeah. That's a good one. I like it.
This is only the second time this has happened in finals history.
Love it.
What was the other
games,
time?
93 Suns, Bulls.
Okay, so that was when the Suns won the first two on the road.
Or when the Bulls won the first two on the road.
Was it the 93 Bulls? I thought it was the 95 Bulls were the other team with the 93 Suns.
It may have been. It was one of those two
series.
One of those two series.
Okay, so those two teams that started 2-0 like the Knicks did, then they went and promptly lost at home like the Knicks did. Yep. And those two teams still won the championship, I believe.
Spurs win game four. Knicks win game five. That. Spurs win game six. I don't know what's going to happen in this game.
Could you imagine that, though?
I would love
the road team won every single game.
It is cool. This is a team that doesn't know what they don't know in the Spurs. So they don't know that they're not supposed to win both games at the Garden.
Exactly.
They don't care.
This is all first to them.
Yep.
All the everything. I mean, Central Park being an artist, getting wanded down by Secret Service.
I mean, I've never seen an athlete wanded down before in my life.
That's nuts.
Don't forget tomorrow, the garage door opens for Cody and Gold as the Cody and Gold garage sale is on Wednesday. Ours is never shuts. June 10th, that's tomorrow. 100% of the proceeds go to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Auction times are available for viewing and bidding and by going to 96.5thefan.com and clicking through the pass link.
Oh my God.
Yes.
FIFA.
Oh no.
Listen to what they're doing now.
Buying all the hotel rooms and then canceling?
Well, yeah, they'd already done that. Yeah. 30,000 hotel rooms in Kansas City got released. That's the real number. 30,000 hotel rooms that FIFA had that they released. 30,000 hotel rooms in Kansas City.
Unbelievable.
Yep. So FIFA has launched the Super Shootout program for the World Cup. For $79, fans can buy a slot to have their name and country displayed on the scoreboard during a match. FIFA.
Yeah. Gotta figure out how to make money on this. I really want to.
We haven't made enough money on this thing yet. But, I mean, so for $79, you can get your name and country. Bob Fesco, USA.
Yes. Or you can go to Knicks game four.
Just do it, Bob.
Somebody on the text line says, I think Charles Barkley had some good nut watching Cardi B last night.
That's good. Take the rest of the week. I need tickets to the FIFA World Cup to get in and put my name on the scoreboard. I ain't paying for that. I will pay the $79 if somebody gets me two tickets. I will pay the $79. Bob Fesco, USA.
Or just put US.
Yeah, Bob, US.
Instead of Bob Fesco is USA, Bob Fesco is us. Oh. The hell is Bob Fesco?
So great to see that flash up at the Kansas City Stadium scoreboard.
What the hell was that?
Bob Fesco, USA. $79, baby. Well spent.
They even covered up the Ring of Honor names, but left the Super Bowl champion.
What?
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
They probably couldn't get a banner up that high or something. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure they could have.
You're right. Like, it is FIFA. They can figure out how to screw you.
Yep. It's crazy how the 24 news cycle comes back around because boycotts and commissioners are out in full force about one player who got off easy yesterday. I don't know. We're easy. Here we are. 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
FIFA!
This is Fesco and Dusty.
Brett Veach has the most underrated chest I've ever seen.
On your home for Chiefs football. Ball 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.